ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world. I'm afraid I can't help it. I'm afraid I can't. I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world. I'm afraid I can't help it. I'm afraid I can't.
Now we'll look a bit deeper than just the news at what's happening with America on Nightlife's American Insight. Bill Wyman's a former assistant managing editor for the National Public Radio in Washington, and he joins us this evening. Bill, good evening to you. Welcome to Nightlife.
Good evening to you as well.
Well, the big news, of course, is this news on tariffs, isn't it? The Supreme Court has, in the eyes of some, surprisingly, knocked over the bulk of Donald Trump's tariffs. Don Farrell, our own trade minister, is to return to the US to try and press the case for the removal of this sudden 15% tariff in the wake of the US Supreme Court decision, which ruled that all the emergency tariffs in that great board that he produced in the Rose Garden at the White House, that all of these tariffs actually are illegal. Now, a court held that the president does not have congressional authority to impose these tariffs under the 1977 International Emergency Economic Powers Act. Was it expected, Bill? It's probably welcome in the eyes of the world, I imagine, but was it expected?
Well, I think we have to say yes, it was. And I think we're all journalists and we're all trained to give both sides of the story and, in fact, to bend over backwards and both sides of the story. And a lot of what's been going on with the Trump administration, sometimes it really causes a great deal of stress in journalists like myself and I'm sure you, because it's sort of like you're almost dealing with a five-year-old toddler. You've said many times, don't touch the stove, it's hot. Don't touch the stove, it's hot. And for some reason or other, here we are, and your toddler is just sat his butt down on on the stove, okay? And the stories about this are always a little restrained, and people in Australia should know the United States Constitution says Congress deals with tariffs, okay? It's not, this isn't something where people debate or argue both sides of it, or there's a little bit of, you know, truth on both sides. It's a very clear-cut thing. Number two, I'm sure some of your, a lot of people in Australia know that one of the sort of talking points of the right for the last 10 years has been the strict interpretation of the Constitution. You know, we believe in the real text of the Constitution and none of this interpretation. Well, the Constitution text is very clear about tariffs. And not only that, another talking point to the right, and this takes us into a little bit of the weeds of the Supreme Court opinions, is that another talking point has been this thing called the major, the major something doctrine. Okay, and this says that when Congress is giving generally the executive branch direction to do a certain thing, Congress has to say explicitly what it does. And in the eyes of the right, the liberals, this is American liberals, have been using vague direction from Congress to do all sorts of things it shouldn't do. So, of course, here's another case where, you know, Congress has said explicitly you can't do this and the executive branch is doing it nonetheless. And all of a sudden, this doctrine is turned on its head. And that's what Trump ran up against. Okay, so three of the Supreme Court justices, the most far right ones, they were very happy to be intellectually inconsistent and let them do this. There were three in the middle who kind of said, yeah, we can't quite go that far. We're not going to be that intellectually ludicrous. And then, of course, you have the three liberal, and that's U.S. liberal justices, who say, look, this isn't up for discussion. The Constitution is very clear. Congress's laws are very clear. We don't need to get into the any discussions about these crazy doctrines. Why are we even having this discussion? And so in the end, lost 6-3 in probably the most conservative Supreme Court in America in, 100?
And that's it, isn't it? I mean, that is it. I mean, that's the final court of appeal. They are illegal. They will have to repay the money.
That's going to open up a whole other can of worms. Because how will they do that? Who will they give the money to? Mm-hmm. things that people know is that these are basically taxes, and that if you buy, you know, I'm just pulling names out of the air, but if you could buy a Toyota for $28,000 4 years ago, and now it's $38,000, and you actually bought it, that $10,000 went to the government. And so should the government give that $10,000 back to Toyota, or should it give it to me, the person who bought the Toyota for $10,000 more than I should have because of these ridiculous tariffs? So they've really opened up a can of worms. And if people want to, they should really look into this, because all during the court cases about this, they tried to establish injunctions. The courts, they asked the court, they said, look, you have to stop the government from doing this, because once they stop that, once they start collecting these tariffs, there's no way to get them back. And the government always said, well, of course we can. If they say they're wrong, of course we'll just give the money back. So that was one of their talking points throughout this whole legal case. Mm. And now they've lost it, they say, it's too hard to do this. So, but unfortunately, it's a precept in American law. The courts decide only the smallest thing they have to. And so it's very much in keeping with the way the Supreme Court does business that they said, hey, look, the lower courts are going to have to go back and deal with this. So it's going to be many years and many million dollars of legal bills later.
But basically, from now on, Trump can't just carry on as he has, slapping tariffs willy-nilly on people he doesn't like because of what they said or because of their politics or whatever. He can't. Exactly. The Supreme Court said you can't do that, didn't they?
Exactly. So those will all end now.
Yeah, Bill Wyman's with us. He's a former Assistant Managing Director of National Public Radio in Washington, a columnist, of course, for Australian media outlets, including the SMH and The Age. Bill, is there going to be a war with Iran? What's going on here? I mean, the US is amassing this huge military force in the Middle East. Trump says he's surprised they aren't more scared. There've been talks in Geneva. Nothing seems to have happened. What's going to happen? What's going on?
This is just another one of these immensely troubling issues. And again, I want to just share with our listeners that I hope I don't sound too strident or one-sided, but at a certain point, you just have to throw your hands up. There was a very strict international agreement about Iran that, President Obama announced, and I remember this very well because I was in D.C. and I was literally at the White House on, I think it was April 2015 or 16 when they announced it. And it really did feel like you were in the West Wing for a couple hours. There were people bustling around. Forgive me if I get this wrong, but France, Germany, the European Union, Russia, America, we all came to this agreement with Iran to stop or severely curtail their nuclear plant, their nuclear development. And then, of course, Trump got into office and unilaterally broke it off. And of course, Iran was allowed to do anything it wanted because the agreements weren't in force anymore. So now here we are dealing with another problem of his own making. These people love to be bellicose and they love to talk tough. But of course, there's real people out there. And if anything does happen, there's going to be a lot of, you know, Iranian people who are just conscripted into the army and who are probably going to feel the brunt of this. And of course, we are again getting involved into another pointless conflict with a country that has 90-something million people in it, and it's severely divided right now. And all we're going to do is unite the country against us. And beyond that, his whole handling, and I don't want to talk like a great military expert or something, but this whole, one of the reasons that American presidents are very quiet when there is unrest in these countries is that we don't want to, if, you know, there's a lot of people who've been protesting in Iran recently, and of course the country cracked down severely. And what they do is it actually helps the countries because they find out who the big troublemakers are and they can grab them all up and put them in prison. And so these people have been giving a false sense of hope from the United States. So many people have been killed and punished. And even if we do go in, going up against a country of 90 million people in the Middle East is, and when you have a whole bunch of, you have a whole bunch of other people, other countries in that area who are not happy about this. And of course, this is what caused 9/11 and all sorts of other terror attacks, this lingering resentment and hatred of the U.S. because of things like this. So it's incredibly depressing. And you just sort of feel like there's just, a bunch of these bellicose guys.
Yeah, here we go again on the strategy, which didn't work the first time around. Yeah. Yep. Look, Back on Greenland, we've done a program on Greenland here. It's intriguing. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump decided that they need medical care, and he's offered them a hospital ship loaded up with drugs and stuff because he says a lot of people are sick there. Greenland's Prime Minister, Jens Frederik Nielsen, said, no thanks. We get free health care for all the citizens here, unlike in the US. What's going on here?
It's another one of these peculiar things that you think, first of all, if we are going to Iran, he's concentrated on that. Mm. Instead, he's tweeting. It's not tweeting, but whatever he does on his platform there, saying that he's sending this great hospital boat. And I don't know if you've followed up on the reporting about this, but America actually has two big medical boats they use in cases like this. And both of them are apparently in dry dock in the Gulf of Mexico right now. Mm-hmm. And so they're not even available. Nobody understands what he's talking about. He mentioned the governor of Louisiana, who, you know, seems to be a right-wing MAGA type, who posted also, yes, this is what we're doing, but there doesn't seem to be any boat, and there doesn't seem to be any reason. It's not clear why, if Greenland needed help, we'd send a boat anyway and not just a plane, right? Get there in 3 or 4 hours from New York City or Washington or wherever else. So the whole thing is just utterly quizzical. And again, it just feels so moronic sometimes. And you don't know if he's doing that in the sense of bread and circuses to his base to keep them occupied while all this other terrible stuff goes on in Iran and with the tariffs or what. But it's just a mystery, and everyone is rolling their eyes. And again, the coverage of it has been very gentle. Yeah. Just if it makes any sense.
In the UK, these Epstein files, or the Trump Epstein files, as some are calling them now, Donald Trump seems to have emerged from these unscathed. Not so former Prince Andrew, who's been arrested now. Charges may be laid. A lot of people were texting the program last week saying, hang on, you know, okay, maybe Andrew is guilty of things, but what's going on in the US? Nobody seems to be faced any consequences at all, have they? Although you say there's one possible exception here, the US Commerce Secretary, Howard Lutnick, who may be in a spot of bother.
It's such a great question, and it's just this big mystery, and you have to give the Republicans credit because they do have this modus operandi of just refusing. It's that old Trump mantra, deny, 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 attack, 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 never admit defeat. So you never give in to this sort of stuff. But people should know this guy's a commerce secretary. He was the head of a very, very, very big financial firm called Cantor Fitzgerald. So this is a very, very, very rich guy. Mm-hmm. And he's seemingly very close to Epstein. He bought the townhouse next door to Epstein. Okay. And then so he was in these files and he said, you know what? We went to his apartment next door once and my wife and I decided he was a creep and we never saw him again. Well, it turns out that he's visited his island. Now, he doesn't seem to have gone on one of those Lolita Express flights. He says that he was on a boat with his family and he went there. Mm-hmm. But it still raises the question is, you said you never saw him again. Why did you take there? Why did you take your kids? Secondly, it's a little unclear, but he seems to have gotten to some sort of a business venture with him. There's some sort of an organization where these two entities came together and they're both signed off on by Epstein and Lutnick. And it hasn't come out exactly what that was, but it's obvious that he was not telling the truth. It's obviously that he had these associations with this guy. And it's just amazing that he is still standing. He did get a very, very intense grilling from the Senate this last week. So we'll see if that comes. But it is true that there is this burbling dissatisfaction about this, even on the right. I mean, it's pretty clear that people on the right can see what's going on, the way the Trump administration has handled all these documents, the incompetence that they're releasing, the way they've made it difficult for people to search them, the poor redaction. So I think this is one of those things that remains to be seen, but there's definitely cracks in the wall of support around him. Mm.
Yes, some news on the Homeland Security Secretary, Kristi Noem. She's in the news because of her own home affairs rather than homeland affairs.
Oh, my God. And again, it just, as a journalist, it's just so hard to see how these people can survive. This is the sort of thing that in any other administration would have just taken up several weeks of news coverage and would have absolutely come to a preordained conclusion, which is the person is thrown out of their their position. So Kristi Noem, who's the head of Homeland Security, and listeners will remember her as the governor of South Dakota who admitted to shooting her dog in the head in a gravel pit. Hmm. So you should understand that the Department of Homeland Security is an enormous bureaucracy. It's not as big as the Pentagon, but it's just one of the largest corporate entities in the world. She's someone who does nothing like the executive experience to handle something like this. And predictably, there's been a lot of pratfalls inside, and there's been this growing discontent. And I encourage everyone to look up this Wall Street Journal article. Wall Street Journal is not a leftist publication, obviously, which is about the internal chaos in the organization and about all the disruptions that she's caused, the way all her showboating has been viewed and her irresponsibility with ICE and things like that. But most of all, it gets into this very down and dirty thing that a lot of people have been talking about. There was a guy named Corey Lewandowski, who's been one of Trump's myrmidons for about 10 years now. He's gotten in a lot of trouble before. He was literally arrested for assault for grabbing a reporter roughly and pushing her aside or grabbing. I forget exactly what it was. She actually declined to press charges. So he's not the coolest headed guy in the world. It's been basically, I shouldn't say it's an open secret, but there have been several articles basically saying that Kristi Noem, who's married, and Corey Lewandowski, who's married, have been having an affair. She hired him as one of her main deputies at the Department of Homeland Security. And apparently, over time, they've become less and less concerned about not being open about it. And again, this is according to the Wall Street Journal. They're flying around the country in a custom 737 jet with a fully appointed master bedroom in it. And this is another thing that's causing problems in the Department of Homeland Security. And you can imagine that Donald Trump, who has this lascivious nature, has been very interested in their relationship. And the story says that he's been interested in it, but thus far has been tolerating it. Mm. So we'll have to see where that goes. But
wow. And meanwhile, Bill Wyman's with us. Meanwhile, Bill, apparently the Trump Organization, this is his property arm, is going to have signed a deal to build a Trump Tower at Surfers Paradise.
Yes. Now, this is breaking news.
Yeah. And, the Gold Coast City Council said they haven't got a DA yet.
Exactly. Okay. And I think, and I want to be careful because I have been researching this before chatted, and it hasn't been clear. I would assume that all this quote-unquote deal is the Trump administration agreeing to let them use the Trump name for some large amount of money. Yeah. Okay. So the idea that this was some agreement hammered out, it's basically, that's what the Trump administration does, whether it's toilet paper or steaks or vodka or a stupid building, you give us some money, you can use our name. Yeah. I don't know. I think, you know, the people in that organization should keep an eye on their wallets. Number one, number two, they should kind of see how valuable that brand is in a place like Australia. And other than that, we're just going to have to see how it goes out. I'm not really sure what their track record is in building. So we'll have to kind of wait and see. But, you know, there's been a lot of, I don't want to say empty, but for example, there's a Trump Tower in Chicago, which you can imagine is not popular and has the big word Trump on it. And basically all the retail shops on the bottom floors have been basically empty for a long time because no one wants to shop there. So I think they're just going to have to kind of see whether they can find a market for it in Queensland. I mean, I guess money talks. If they get the money to build it and keep the thing afloat, then more power to them. But it does seem like it's a we just don't know. But I think we should assume that the quote unquote deal is this Trump agreeing, you know, to take X millions of dollars to put his name on a bill. So we'll have to see. It might be a smart decision.
America the Beautiful, Bill. It's lovely to talk with you. We'll chat again. Appreciate it. Thank you.
I really enjoyed it too. Thank you so much. Have a great evening.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America. sea to shining sea.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife. Yeah.